Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. You need to have a great relationship and, above all, absolute trust in your insurance and, in particular, your insurance agent. You're going to need it at some point, and you need to have someone that you trust that makes sure that you're fully covered, but they're also doing it for the right price. Purdy Insurance will find you the right price. They'll find you exactly the insurance you need, and it doesn't matter if it's personal, business, commercial insurance, whatever it happens to be. They are a full-service insurance agency. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play calls of the day.
Around the boards and the end boards, to the right point it goes. To Schultz, left side to Dumoulin. A slapper, score! Brian Dumoulin, let it go. And the Pens have taken a 1-0 lead. That makes you want to see a silly seal slide sideways in Sausalito. Turning back with the puck, going to the goal line, goes behind the net, throw it in front for Hornquist. Can't get across, he won't have a tank shot, score! Chris Letang makes it off Martin Jones on the setup from Crosby, and the Penguins take the lead 2-1. Oh, get that dog off my lawn. Left side, Vlasic gonna shoot it. Blocked by Crosby. Sends it up to Hornquist. Crosses the center end. Empty net. Puts it in! Patrick Hornquist with 1:02 to go. Gets an empty net goal, and the Penguins lead this game 3-1, and he is smiling like a butcher's dog. 4 seconds to go. The Penguins have jumped over the boards. It sails down to the Sharks end, short-handed. It's over. Get in the fast lane, Grandma. The bingo game is ready to roll. The 2016 Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins. For these players, something that they will never, ever forget, and the bond between them all is something that you have to experience to really understand how this will carry the rest of their lives.
As only Mike Lang can call it, on the Penguins Radio Network. We've had Mike on this show twice in the past, each of the last 2 years. And just is a great guy. I have tremendous respect for Mike, and he comes up with phrases I wouldn't even consider thinking. All right. Penguins won it last night. Sidney Crosby, by the way, of course, the playoff MVP, winning the Conn Smythe Trophy. It'll be fun tonight if the Warriors won and they give the MVP the Bill Russell Award to Draymond Green. I think that would be comical. What? Out there in street clothes accepting the award. Thank you. All right, let's talk about Philadelphia sports and other things, too. Of course, the U.S. Open coming up at Oakmont this week. We'll get that, by the way, coming up on Wednesday show. That should be, we're going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday show. Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia, at one point, I believe, shot 67 at Merriam, but he doesn't like to brag.
Always a pleasure. I'm a Renaissance man. You know that.
I understand that. So, first of all, let's get outside of Philly here for a moment. Draymond Green suspended for tonight. Now, you follow the NBA a lot. It must have been obvious to them because it is the finals. Fair enough?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, you knock a star out of the finals. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, you would hope.
You'd hope it would be. What do you think that does to tonight's final?
I still like Golden State tonight. I think Cleveland game four, I think, was kind of the key. If Cleveland could get to even, might just kind of change the tonight dynamic, but I think Golden State winning that one. And I think now you've got Golden State with a chip on their shoulder because they don't have Green. So I would go with the Warriors winning their second straight tonight.
Yeah, you know, same here. I think part of it too is Kyrie Irving was interesting. He said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "We had a couple chances, and you know," he said, "we just need to convert." No, I watched the fourth quarter. Okay, Golden State's ball movement was crisp and exemplary. The ball stuck for Cleveland. Nobody moved and nobody passed the ball. So it was a lot of hero basketball, and I think that's the problem they have more than anything else.
Yeah, and when Golden State is playing at their highest level, they really can't be touched. I mean, they're just that good that when they get to a certain point, the opponent is almost irrelevant, I think. It's so much about how special they can be.
What a hard loss for the Phillies yesterday. Gomez has been really good for them. And yesterday in the ninth inning, they're winning, and then Jason Worth beats them with a bases-loaded hit. Things starting to even up a little bit for them right now in terms of those close games?
I think so, because, you know, Gomez gets the loss, but they had a play in that inning, a ground ball to second that Cesar Hernandez throws high to first, and Tommy Joseph wasn't able to find the bag. And when you got a closer, early any pitcher like Gomez, a guy who's not necessarily a swing and miss guy, who is trying to get you out by getting weak contact, not that any pitcher can afford to have misplaced errors behind them, but when you got a guy that puts the ball in play and you give teams extra outs, it's just going to come back to bite you. And, you know, that's a little extra painful, not just you get swept, not just you struggling, but Jason Worth gets the walk-off, and as it turns out, Jonathan Papelbon gets the win. So it's like the greatest hits for Phillies fans up and down.
Yeah, all the way through. They've lost four in a row now. They're 3-7, but again, the problem is they just don't score any runs. I mean, they've only scored 10 more runs this season than the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, and the starting pitching, it's still been pretty good, but you're starting. Nola struggled his last start against the Nats. Ellickson struggled his last start, and I don't want to say this like sound the alarm, but yeah, I just think you're starting to see over the course of a long season some things get equalized. You know, some guys going through maybe not even slumps, just a little bit of ebb. You know, that you see through the grind of 162 games, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how Zach Eflin pitches tomorrow. He'll make his major league debut. And this is really kind of the main talking point of the 2016 season, is every couple weeks you're getting a chance to see a guy that you're excited about that has a chance to be a piece. I think the last one we saw was Tommy Joseph. He's been very good. And now Eflin, who was acquired in that in the Jimmy Rollins trade 2 years ago, who's been very good at Triple-A, will step into the rotation for Velazquez, who's been sidelined by that biceps injury. So maybe get a chance to look at another piece of the future.
How tough is it mentally to play with a small margin of error?
I think everything's magnified. Every time you don't move a guy over from second, every time you leave a guy on third with one out, it just I think it's especially hard on pitchers, and maybe you're starting to see some of that too. Guys that, you know, pitch well and trail 2-1 in the seventh inning, you maybe try to, I don't want to say force pitches, but maybe try to get away with stuff that you'd be a little less prone to do in another game, because you know you need a strikeout in a certain situation. You can't give up an out on a ground ball with a guy at third, and it ends up being a double off the wall because you tried to be too fine, and it just kind of spirals that way. But I think it's important, and Pete McCann knows this, you know, to just kind of stay focused on the day-to-day getting better. I mean, even when we were having a lot of fun in early to mid-May with some dramatic wins and at 1.7 games over 500, but deep down, I think everyone expected to see the great market correction. And it's one thing, it's easy, always easy to talk about stuff like that, but it's painful when you have to sit through it and experience it day after day after day. But you know, even in the, if you would have told anyone back on April 1st, you know, at this, on today's, this point in June, they'd be five games under 500. 99 out of 100 would say, oh, I'd take that. I'd take that. Yeah. So, yeah,
exactly. The Ryan Howard incident. It sounds like someone actually turned themselves in on Friday for the incident that happened on June 4th. What do you know about this?
Yeah, apparently happened that I think turned himself in on Friday, and I thought I just saw something about a possible court appearance and a fine on Tuesday. It's going to end up not being a big deal from a legal standpoint. It's just another, you know, opportunity or another thing that the national media can paint the entire Philadelphia fan base with. And, you know, it's just a shame that that's going to be part of the, I don't want to say it's going to be how this last year is remembered, but it's been such a tough year that you just hate to see Ryan Howard going out like this. I mean, now Tommy Joseph has won the first base job, so now Ryan Howard, and rightfully so, given how he's produced this year, but he's hitting .150, and at this point probably going to play once a week, and you just throw kind of the bottle incident in that it's not how a guy with the character of Ryan Howard and the career of Ryan Howard, how you wish this was playing out at the end.
He had the blown-out Achilles, which I think changed everything. Then he had knee problems on top of it, maybe even overcompensating for the Achilles. That's a distinct possibility. How much actually have the legs slowed down his bat?
Oh, I think significantly. And I think the knee problem, if you remember, if we go back to that first summer when he, after he suffered the Achilles, he tried to come back a little too quick. And he was in spring training, and then there were problems, and he got sidelined, and his return ended up getting pushed back a couple of months. And I think a lot of it stems from not just the injury, but because he wanted to try to get back so quickly, he kind of forced things, and he's never been right. You can draw a circle on that day when he grounded out the second to end the NLDS against the Cardinals, as that's the day the window shut on that group of Phillies. And his career's never been the same. He's put up some nice numbers. You know, if you're looking at the back of a baseball card since then, he's had a couple of nice home run seasons and knocking in 85, 90 RBI. But it's also, if you watch them day to day, he would get chance after chance, and he would come through on 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4. And, you know, if he was playing at the standards he was 3-4 years ago, he'd been at 150, 155 runs batted in like he used to be instead of just 75, 80.
I want to go back to the comment you made about the Philadelphia fan base. You know, as you and I both know, from the outside looking in, oh, you can make easy comments, easy joke, easy swipe. How much does that grate on the Philadelphia fan base because they are passionate fans that love their teams?
Oh, it grates on them a lot. And it's because most of the time, I mean, are there problems? Yes. Obviously, but
yeah, but there are problems everywhere.
There are problems everywhere. I mean, you go. I mean, remember a few years ago, the umpire got jumped in the middle of the game. That wasn't Philadelphia.
No,
you know, nobody. You know, you had the guy out at was it San Francisco or L.A. was given brain damage outside a game for wearing the wrong shirt. I mean,
that's
this
right.
Stuff happens. It's awful. It happens everywhere, but it's just it's easy for Philly because it's the Santa Claus line is such an easy line to throw in.
Sure,
you know. Santa Claus throwing snowballs, and it's a cheap guffaw line for people that don't know any better, and it just keeps getting recycled by national people. No one locally, no one regionally. It's people doing national columns, talking heads on national shows, because it's an easy throwaway line, and everybody knows what you're talking about, and that's what grates on Philly fans, or on Philadelphia fans. Most Philadelphia fans know that there's idiots amongst them, but there's idiots amongst every group.
Well, the guy ran on the court the other night at the Cavaliers-Warriors game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stuff happens like this. And for the most part, a lot of the stuff that's painted with Philadelphia fans, you know, is nonsense, like the snowballs and stuff like that. I mean, throwing batteries at J.D. Drew a few years ago, I mean, that's more dangerous. But still, stuff that's been a lot more tragic and a lot more criminal has happened in other places, and yet it's Philadelphia that's kind of got the repeating tagline of, you know, everybody rolling their eyes and going, oh, well, look at those Philly fans.
Any update on the Eagles?
Well, of course.
They haven't picked a quarterback, so I mean...
No, it's still kind of Sam Bradford's job. I can't imagine you don't see Carson Wentz play a significant role at some point. That's my opinion because of all they've got invested in him. And I think it's going to be one of those where, yeah, maybe Sam Bradford has the job, but they're going to be looking for any reason to give Carson Wentz a shot. So it'll be interesting, and they've got a lot of money tied up in that position, so you hope they get something out of it.
That's all right. They sell out and have a national TV contract. They got plenty of cash.
This is true. This is true.
Give the NFL credit. I mean, there's not supposed to be anything called a money tree in the world, but they found it.
Yeah.
They found it.
No, I mean, the schedule's a three-hour TV show. I mean, come on.
Well, and they're talking about playing three games in England where they're going to, it means they'll be on the air from 9:30 in the morning with national games up until almost midnight.
Yeah. I think there's a part of me that thinks we're only 8-10 years away from having a game every night.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do because I think it waters it down, but if there's money to be had and TV contracts to be had, it wouldn't. I mean, look what you've got in college football now, basically. You got teams play Monday, Tuesday, you know, certain conferences have certain deals and stuff like that. I think it's only a matter of time.
I always enjoy that Mid-American Conference Wednesday game of the week. It really
nothing says fun like Akron on a Tuesday night.
I mean, I know I set my watch and my life to it.
Absolutely.
Based on the attendance, they didn't do that in Akron. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Matt. Great stuff as always.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Coming up, Bill Simmons, ESPN fires back, and anecdotes about the Stanley Cup and its interesting journey with various players. And our sports bozo of the day is Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, not to be missed. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. Some news and notes for you. ESPN President John Skipper firing back at Bill Simmons, who starts his show on HBO next week, I think on the 22nd. And it's been Bill Simmons has taken one pot shot after another, it seems, at ESPN. John Skipper, who runs ESPN, finally broke out this weekend and said this, quote, "Bill would rather spin conspiracy theories and be perceived as a martyr than take responsibility from his own actions. Let me be unequivocal and clear and take responsibility for my actions. I alone made the decision, and it had nothing to do with his comments about the commissioner, Roger Goodell. I severed our relationship with Bill Simmons because of his repeated lack of respect for this company and, more importantly, the people who work here." I think that spells it out their side in no uncertain terms. And he has taken some shots at some of the guys that work at, and men and women that work at ESPN. That part gets a little. Next, Penn State football. 5 of the 7 home games have kickoff times. And you can make a reasonable assumption about a sixth. It was announced today that the Big Ten Network, in their opening 3 weeks of the season, 2 of the 3 will be on BTN. The opener with Kent State is going to be a 3:30 kickoff. That'll be a 2 o'clock airtime here on WKOK. Next week, of course, with Pitt at Heinz Field, will be a noon kickoff. We already knew that. And Temple on September 17th at Beaver Stadium will also be a noon kickoff, which will be a 10:30 airtime here on WKOK. The only two games at Beaver Stadium that do not have kickoff times right now are Minnesota on October 1st and November 26th with Michigan State, although I think you can make a safe assumption that that will be a later game in all likelihood at 3:30. Because Ohio State and Michigan play that day at noon, and they don't like to put Penn State, Michigan State opposite Ohio State and Michigan. That's why you can make that assumption. It's the Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State, Penn State have not been opposite one another. So if Ohio State, Michigan is at noon, as usual, you can expect Penn State, Michigan State to be the later game that day.
Makes perfect sense.
So the October 1st game with Minnesota is the only one that we don't know about at home. Everything else is set. Ohio State's at 8. Iowa's at 7:30.
Kent State's at 3:30. Temple is at noon. Pretty simple. It's great to have that many kickoffs ahead of time. That way people can make plans. I'll tell you what I don't like in college football. I cannot stomach the six-day rule. They're allowed to invoke it three times in the season. But that, to me, that's all wrong. You know 12 days out and have a pretty good handle on the season's going as to who should be what, where, and why. You know, that just messes around with the fans for no particular reason, and I don't like it. I never have. The Sports Bozo of the Day is a beauty. It involves Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen from back in the day.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, and you have to have a great relationship with your insurance agent and trust. Because you need the right insurance today. You also need it to be done at a price that is affordable to you, that fits your budget. I don't care whether it's personal insurance, commercial, business, whatever it happens to be. Purdy Insurance takes care of it all. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And I am the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, this is a great one. Our sports bozo of the day. And you are going to love this. This goes back years. And this shows you, at times, even in comedy, how ruthless Michael Jordan can be. Now, every team has a Jumbotron. And they always have up on the Jumbotron one of those races. Or they'll do the shuffle of whatever, and the fan has to pick out what number it's under. Right? So the Bulls, back in the day, had a segment that would be on the Jumbotron during timeouts or breaks, which would be a race between three cartoon bulls. Each race would end with a fan winning a prize based on where they were sitting and which bull won. Now, if you've ever gone to an arena early, which I'm going to guess that none of you really have, and when I mean early, like nobody's really in the building except for personnel, they practice everything that they do. I don't mean the players. I mean the presentation staff. I don't care whether you're going to a minor league game at Williamsport or a major league game at Citizens Bank Park or Wells Fargo Arena or Beaver Stadium or whatever. You do run-throughs of what you're doing that particular day. So one day, Jordan gets to the arena early. He's sitting there at the United Center. And he saw the staff doing a run-through of the race before they showed it later in the game. And Amin Elhassan says he's sitting there, and he says, Mike is watching this and says, you guys already know who's going to win? And the guy says, yeah, it's all pre-recorded. So Jordan asked who was going to win that night, and the staff told him it would be the Red Bull. So now they get to the game. During a timeout, Phil Jackson is drawing up a play, and Mike goes over to Scottie Pippen and says, hey, Scottie, $100, the red one wins. Well, of course, the red one wins, and Jordan wins $100 from Scottie Pippen. But what is even more interesting is that Jordan went on to do it the rest of the season. And Pippen never once had a clue about what was going on. In fact, Pippen was just thoroughly and completely amazed that Jordan always picked the right one at $100 a night. Now, at some point, after you've been punked four or five times, and you've lost $400 or $500, don't you start to suspect that maybe you're being played? I mean, don't you? This went on for the rest of the season. Hey, Scotty, I think it's going to be the blue one. I think tonight's going to be the red one. I think tonight's going to be the green one. And, of course, Jordan, get it right. Every single. Because he just went over and asked the guy which one wins tonight. Red. He knew to ask. And Pippen never caught on. Never. Now, there is a sidebar to this as well. What was so unimportant about Phil Jackson drawing up the play that Pippen and Jordan weren't even paying attention? it's fine. We'll get the ball to Mike. We're good. That is our sports bozo of the day. I particularly liked that one.
That's rich. That fool me once, fool me 20 times.
He did it the rest of the year.
That's so funny.
Scotty, I think the blue one's going to win. Really? $100. And he said, and Pippen was just, really? He gets it right every time. He's unbelievable.
That covered his greens fees, his cigars for a while. So,
oh, country club membership, the whole deal. Oh. All right. The Penguins won the Stanley Cup last night. So here's some facts about the Stanley Cup, the oldest professional sports trophy in North America. Now, Lord Stanley of Preston bought the cup for a mere $48.67 in 1892. All right? It is the only trophy that has the name of the winning players, coaches, management, and club staff all engraved on it. In 1919, the Spanish influenza epidemic forced the Montreal Canadiens and the Seattle Metropolitans to cancel their series, marking the first time the Stanley Cup was not awarded. The series was tied at 2-2-1. But the final game was never played because the Montreal players Joe Hall, Billy Couture, Jack McDonald, Edward Lalonde, and manager George Kennedy were all hospitalized with influenza. So they didn't finish it. There are several misspellings on the cup, which we'll get to in a moment. No one's name appears more in the Stanley Cup than Jean Béliveau, the great one. 17 times on the cup, 10 times as a player, 7 times as management. Now, as a player, the number one name on the cup as a player is 11 times. It is not Maurice Rocket Richard. It is his brother, the Pocket Rocket, Henri Richard, 11 times on the trophy. 13 women have their names engraved on the trophy. There are actually 3 Stanley Cups, the original bowl, the authenticated cup, and the replica at the Hall of Fame. The original bowl, purchased by Lord Stanley of Preston, is currently displayed at the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. Players were given a full day with the cup in 1993. Each team, the Penguins, starting with the parade, will have 100 days with the cup. Each one gets a day. In 1907, the victorious Montreal Wanderers gathered for a team photo with the cup at a photographer's house. They then left it behind, and the photographer's mother turned it into a flower pot. It was not claimed for several months. 1924, the Montreal Canadiens left the cup by the roadside because they were repairing a flat tire en route to celebrate their win at owner Leo Durando's house. And they took everything out to get to the tire. It was in the back. And they put it on the side of the road. They jacked the car up. They replaced the tire, put it back on, boom, pulled away. No cup. The cup was recovered exactly where they left it in the snowbank. In 1979, Guy Lafleur borrowed it for the weekend without telling anyone to show his friends back home in Thurso, Quebec, where he sat it out on the front lawn for all of his neighbors to see. Brian Trottier with the Islanders admitted to not only sleeping with the Stanley Cup, but also went screwing the bowl for a food dish for his dog. Martin Brodeur drove around Montreal when the Devils won the Cup in 95. He put the cup in the passenger seat wearing a seatbelt. Tom Barrasso, goalie for the Pittsburgh Penguins, put the cup in the bottom of his pool. The Stanley Cup served as an engagement ring bearer when Andre Roy of the Tampa Bay Lightning proposed to his fiancée. I have to admit, that's kind of a big-time move. All right, now let's get to some of the misspellings on there. You're going to love some of these. There are several misspellings and illegitimate names on the cups. Many of them have never been corrected. Such as, Pat McGreevy's name is spelled incorrectly. It's MC. MC then capital R. It's spelled on the cup MC capital C. No R in there. Member of the Bruins. Dickie Moore won 6 Stanley Cups. His name appears 5 different ways. D. Moore, Richard Moore, R. Moore, Dickie Moore, and Rich Moore. Glenn Hall, the great goaltender. His name in the Stanley Cup is misspelled in, from the 52 season. Instead of Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, it is spelled Glynn, G-L-I-N. Alex Delvecchio, one of the great teammates, 20 years a teammate of Gordie Howe's, had his name misspelled in the Stanley Cup in 1954. It's spelled Belvecchio. Bob Gainey, the great Bob Gainey who played for the Montreal Canadiens in the 70s. He spells his name G-A-I-N-E-Y. On the Stanley Cup, each year they won, it is spelled G-A-I-N-Y, no E. Ted Kennedy had his name spelled in the Stanley Cup with 2 Y's at the end. The 1963 Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs spelled L-E-A-E-S. No F. The 72 Boston Bruins, the Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito version. Boston is spelled B-Q-S-T-Q-N. So Q's instead of O's. The New York Islanders 1991 Stanley Cup. Or 1981 Stanley Cup. Islanders is spelled I-L-A-N-D-E-R-S. They sort of forgot the S. Justin Williams, Conn Smythe Trophy winner, 2014 LA Kings. His name on the cup is spelled W-I-L-L-I-V-I-S. Peter Pocklington, former owner of the Edmonton Oilers, the guy that traded Wayne Gretzky, decided to put his father's name, Basil, on the cup in 1984. Today, there is an X over Basil's name, and it just says X Pocklington. 1996, Colorado Avalanche's Adam Deadmarsh has his name on the cup spelled Deadmarsh. Carolina Hurricanes forward Eric Staal has his name spelled on the cup S-T-A-A-A-L, 3 A's. And last year, Chicago Blackhawks forward Chris Versteeg, well, they sort of inverted the T and the S. It's spelled Versteeg. So the cup, not perfect. Who is the first one to hoist the Stanley Cup over his head? Ted Lindsay, you saw him last night pay tribute to his great teammate Gordie Howe. He was the captain of the Red Wings, in fact. The reason he hoisted the Stanley Cup in the air for the first time since in 1950 because he wanted the fans to see it as he skated around the rink. That's why he put it up in the air over his head. First time the Stanley Cup was ever brought out to the ice, 1932 Toronto Maple Leafs. Tradition has been breached a few times. Montreal beat the Kings. That was the Wayne Gretzky Kings in 93. Guy Carboneau went out, took the cup, handed it right to Dennis Savard. Steve Yzerman, very emotional. When the Red Wings beat the Washington Capitals in 1998, Steve Yzerman immediately gave the cup to Vladimir Konstantinov, whose career was cut short because of a traffic accident. They wheeled him out to the ice, and they handed him the cup. And Joe Sakic did the same thing, by the way, handed the puck, the cup right to Ray Bourque so he could be the first to skate with it, because Bourque, it was the first time he'd ever won the Stanley Cup. So those are just some notable things. The 1994 New York Rangers started the tradition where each guy gets the cup and they have it over a 100-day span. Children have been baptized from water poured into the Stanley Cup. Islanders forward Clark Gillies, Ducks forward Sean O'Donnell each allowed their dogs to eat out of it just like Brian Trottier. Thus the lore of the oldest trophy competed for in North America. Lord Stanley of Preston. It's an incredible trophy. We didn't say it was perfect. We will come back, wrap it up in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
That's right. They played some Hall & Oates last night in the Penguins locker room. I just got a note that we need to stop playing this. Evidently, the suit is now dancing in front of his cubicle.
Wait, Rick, he's in the building. It's almost 5. That's a full day for him.
Nah, he got it at noon. if you're wondering, why did Sidney Crosby last night hand the Stanley Cup initially to Trevor Daley, who missed the last 9 games of the Stanley Cup because he broke his ankle, broke it blocking a shot. Daley, of course, 12 seasons in the NHL, missed his final 9 playoff games with a broken ankle. Crosby, though, gave him the cup for this reason. Daley's mother, Trudy, is battling cancer, and it was her dream to see him lift the Stanley Cup. So he gave the cup to Trevor Daley first. And that just tells you something about
the people involved in this. You know, we always, in sports these days, the coverage of sports is completely different than it was 30 or 40 years ago. So often we tell you about the bad stories. There are a lot of really, really, really good people in sports, just like there's a lot of really, really good people in any profession. There's a lot of really good people in every profession. There's a lot of really good people in every neighborhood. There's a lot of really good people in every city. And sports is a cross-section of all of that. There are a lot of really good people in sports, too. And there's a depth of caring. So you get an emotional win like this. You lift up the Stanley Cup because you're the captain. And you have to make a choice as to where you want to go to first. And in that moment, you know you want to hand it to that guy because that guy's mother is battling cancer, may not make it, and guess what? She's always dreamed of seeing him do this. He gets it first. Now, then Trevor Daly then handed it off to Pascal Dupuis. Dupuis, his career ended early this year because of blood clots, but was given his moment to hoist it above his head and as the third guy up. So, I mean, you know, things like these are, there are no such thing, there's no such thing, in my opinion, as small things in life. No. You may say, that's just a small thing. I did that. That's not a small thing. When you do something for somebody else because there's a depth of caring, it's not a small thing. And I don't care if you shoveled the neighbor's driveway and they didn't know about it. I don't care if you cut the neighbor's yard when they were on vacation because you wanted to make it look like they're still there. Those aren't small things. And there are more people like that in the world than there are evil, like we saw in Orlando. Exponentially more people that are good than the dirt of the earth. Fun show today. Tomorrow we'll have the Phillies and the Blue Jays. We have the Phillies and the Jays tonight. Rogers Center. Airtime 6:30, I believe, tonight, right? That sounds right. And then tomorrow the airtime is noon. 12:37, first pitch tomorrow. So we're off tomorrow. Back on Wednesday. And we come back on Wednesday. Lots of golfers. We'll be at Oakmont. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.